You're listening to Two Sides of FI, a podcast that follows two lifelong friends as they seek financial independence and to retire early. I'm Eric, and I'm joined by my friend Jason, who reached FI in 2020. And this is our story.
So the last episode we recorded back last September, it's March of 2024. And you just gave your notice this past week. And I thought it'd be fun to kind of check in with you. Tell me a little bit about the process that you just went through this past week.
Okay. First, I needed to tell my immediate boss, that's the director of research. So I needed to talk to her first. And then I needed to tell my lab very soon after, because once I told my boss, she said she would obviously keep it in confidence, but I wanted to tell my lab as soon as possible. So I think I told her, and then a couple days later, I had my regular lab meeting. And then in the interim, there were a couple of people that I pulled aside to talk to one-on-one because I thought they were uniquely affected, or they just happened to be people that I've worked with for a really long time, and I wanted to tell them one-on-one. And then I told the rest of the lab. Once I told all the rest of the lab, then the advice given to me by my boss was to send an email to all of the faculty, and I did that same day. So that was pretty overwhelming, actually, because that day where I told the lab and then I told everybody else, it was like a flood of emails and people coming by my office.
How many people, just to kind of set the stage, so you're running your own research lab, how many people are in that lab, and then how many people are in your orbit at the institution where you work?
There are 12 people in my lab and affiliated with my lab who are affected. And then my colleagues, who are my peers, there's 30 or so. I'm sorry, 40, because there's two campuses, so 40.
Yeah. So I recall when you told your boss that this was happening, she wanted to keep it secret for a while.
Longer, yeah.
Which you weren't expecting.
I know, and I think it crossed her mind, maybe we should wait until a certain grant renewal goes in, which would be May, so that would have been multiple months.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do that. That was too long.
You were already kind of preparing in your mind, like, okay, this is who I need to tell. This is how I'm feeling.
So. Yeah. Because once I made the decision, I was carrying it around, which was just causing even more, like, it took me so long to get to the point where I knew I was going to do it. And then I was carrying it around knowing that I was going to do it, but I wasn't telling anyone. So weird things would happen. Like people would be talking about me, like planning a grant together that we would write, and I would be sort of non-committal, and they were confused, or I was turning down certain things, and I think people were kind of like wondering what was going on.
Yeah.
And then of course my financial advisor, who reviews all of my grants with me, once a month we meet and we talk about the budget. I think she was kind of wondering what was going on, because I think I said this in the last episode, I didn't have any irons in the fire, so I was having a harder and harder time keeping it from her, because she saw the numbers and she saw the cliff coming. So
in the last episode and we just published this very recently, because it was on the heels of you giving notice, we're like, okay, it's safe to publish this.
And yeah. That video was released on the Sunday before I had told. So my boss knew, but my lab didn't know yet. And my colleagues didn't know yet, except for a couple of very close friends who are also my colleagues. They knew. And we were like, well, it's fine, because I didn't think anyone at work really watched this, because they never talked to me about it, you know?
Right.
You know, they follow 30 by 40, some of them, but they don't follow Two Sides of FI necessarily. So I wasn't really worried about it. And then I got a text like that Monday morning from someone at work, like, oh, he listened to the podcast. He's like, I just listened to the podcast. Did you give your notice? So then I thought, oh, I really better tell. I think that Monday I told more, I added a few more people to the one-on-ones, because I just felt like I got to tell some of these people one-on-one. I just felt like they deserved to hear it and a chance to react to it without being in a group of people.
This was not an intentional move on your part. But what I was going to say about releasing that video, we got so much feedback. So many really great and supportive comments. So I really appreciated reading those, and I know
I did too. And well, I didn't respond to them because I'm terrible on YouTube, but I did read the comments and they were fantastic. I thought the response to that video was, I felt very supported by a lot of strangers, including people who have similar jobs to me, who really understood where I was coming from. So that was great. Yeah.
But also it highlighted the number of comments on people's reactions just said to me, there's something there. There's something more to this, because I think, you know, we had been kind of keeping this secret from a lot of people mm-hmm. that we were pursuing early retirement as opposed to just FI. Like, you know, we had openly had discussions about pursuing financial independence with other people, but never specifically said, and also we are going to retire early.
Yeah.
And so this kind of crossed that bridge into that space, and now we're confronting all these reactions. And I think what I read in those comments was, oh yeah, when I told people, they had this reaction or that reaction. And so I guess since you just had a flood of reactions coming mm-hmm. from people who knew you very well,
yeah,
tell me about those.
Okay. Well, I want to say that I had a lot of wonderful reactions from people. Yeah. A lot of congratulations, a lot of positivity, and also people who were saying, well, I feel some melancholy and some jealousy, you know, and I think the melancholy was from people who I'm friends with and I've worked with for so many years, and I think they just feel sad that there's going to be an end and I'm not going to be there anymore, and I feel that sadness too.
Yeah.
So some of the a lot of people asking, what are you going to do, which I expected, so that doesn't also fall in the category of unexpected. So I guess I'll do the really unexpected ones, which were, are you sick?
Yeah.
Is everything okay? Those were people who actually came by my office and like closed the door and sat down, very concerned looks on their faces, like, what's going on? Because if you're doing this, you must be sick.
That's a very personal question. I was taken aback by that when you said, I don't know why it didn't really like enter my thought process mm-hmm. that would be a reaction someone would have, but it's kind of obvious in hindsight.
Yeah.
And so your reaction to that was like, you were kind of nonplussed by the fact that that's a very personal question.
Yeah.
Easy to answer if there isn't a health concern, but imagine.
If there were, that would have been hard. Yeah. And you know, the people who asked, I think were asking with good intentions. They were concerned, sure. You know, yeah. They're not trying to like look for juicy gossip or anything like that. I think they just wanted to make sure everything was okay. So I appreciate that. And yeah, if I really was sick, I would have been in a position to decide, well, do I tell them or do I just say, oh no, it's fine.
But that's something you're going to have to confront if you're giving your notice early.
Yeah. Yeah.
And especially you're 50.
Yes.
In a career where people work into what age?
I mean, some people work in this career till they die. I mean, there are people who just are so dedicated to being scientists, they just don't want to, that's what they want to do with their entire lives. And some of those people also manage to balance avocations and hobbies that are sure. very fulfilling and robust. But I'm just not that kind of person. I think for me to be a scientist, I always perceive that I have to work a lot harder than everybody else. Like it doesn't come naturally to me or something, but I just find that I'm just wringing my hands about it all the time and worrying about it. And I always felt like I was putting in more hours than other people were. And worrying a lot more than other people about grants and people's jobs. And
could have been one of the things that contributed to your success. You don't really know.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's
both.
That,
I think
you
both.
Can have those, that feeling. And I know I've felt this way before, and I feel like it becomes a motivator, mm-hmm. helps me do more and strive more, but also over time it can feel like a grind.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like I always had to prove myself all the time. And part of that is my own problem, but I didn't come up through high school as like top of my class, perfect SAT score, went to MIT. You know, I have a lot of colleagues who do have that kind of path.
Sure.
And so you do find yourself always trying to compensate for the fact that, you know, you went to a public university, you know, and you don't have this like all these credentials. And yeah. There are a lot of people who walk around like when I was at Yale, you know, and yeah. I think when you're around people like that and you don't have that background, you feel like you're always compensating.
Sure.
And I'm really glad I don't have to deal with that anymore.
Well, tell me about some other unexpected reactions.
One person said, congratulations, this is great, I'm so happy for you, but surely Eric isn't retiring because he's at the pinnacle of his career.
So immediate slam to you.
This is a person who just manages to always, in every interaction I've had with this person, and I've known them for a long time, not like on a close personal basis, yeah. but just as colleagues, like, I always walk away feeling smaller after I talk
Less
to this
than,
person.
Yeah.
I don't know how he manages to do it, but yeah, he said that and I was like, well, I'm also retiring at the pinnacle of my career. Yeah. That's why people are surprised. Like, what? How can you retire now? They were about, like, I was on the list to be promoted, you know, on paper, everything looks great. There's no like sense of, except my financial analyst seeing the cliff, but like, you know, like I could easily renew those grants or not easily, but you know, the grants could be renewed or they could be totally new grants. And I have lots of, I would have had opportunities to do that. So it's not so much that, it's more like I want to leave when I feel like I'm doing really well and not leave on a low note.
Yeah.
Also, I have the opportunity to, you know, so I want to take advantage of that. So that was surprising, I guess, but maybe I shouldn't be so surprised based on where it came from.
There was another person's reaction that I'm thinking of that you just heard yesterday.
Yeah, the one I got yesterday, I don't know if I was surprised. Maybe I was surprised at the delivery.
Yeah.
So yesterday I had a student defend his thesis successfully. So we were having a reception to celebrate him. And somebody in like the top of the leadership at the institution where I work showed up at this reception. And I was standing there with a couple of other colleagues. And he said, "Oh, congratulations, but I'm just so surprised. I don't think I've ever met anyone in this field who has done this." And, you know, and I'm in the back of my mind, I'm thinking like, oh, I can think of a lot of people, but what does he mean? Maybe he means in academic science versus an industry where people change jobs and careers all
sure.
the time.
Yeah.
So he was like, you know, most people, you know, people like us, we are so dedicated to our science. It's so much of who we are. It really defines who we are. So I'll be interested to see where you are in 2 years. And I said, well, there's a lot more to who I am than, you know, being a scientist is part of who I am, but it's not all of who I am. So luckily, since I don't define myself that way, I think I'll be okay. And the way he said it in front of other people, you know, it kind of, it put me on the defense, and I wish I hadn't felt defensive. I wish I had just nodded my head and said, yeah, we'll see.
Hey, Eric here with Two Sides of Phi. If you've been listening to Jason and I on the podcast, you may not be aware that we also have a YouTube channel. And quite often, we have supporting graphics, charts, information, and even a few outtakes that don't fit well in an audio format. So if you're into that kind of thing, you can find us on YouTube at Two Sides of Phi.
I guess part of the issue with giving your notice is you're opening yourself up to all of this.
Yeah, judgment.
Judgment. And criticism and praise and all of the other things.
Yeah.
And when it comes from someone pretty high up at the institution who should know better than to treat someone like that, that to me, that feels like an affront to you as a professional.
Yeah, I think
disrespectful.
I think when somebody is a scientist and then they grow into a role as an administrator and then become leaders of large organizations, you would think that the skill set that comes along with that is knowing what to say.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was the wrong thing to say.
It was not the right thing to say to me, maybe. I don't know what his... I think he was just trying to explore what I was thinking. Like, it was his way of saying, what are you thinking? And, you know, a lot of people asked me what I planned to do. And I felt like I had to... Initially, I felt like I had to have a list. Like, I got to pull out a list of, like, five really impressive things that I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to go start a new scientific journal. I'm going to write
a book.
Write a novel.
Yeah.
You know, and I found myself kind of falling into that trap of trying to explain to people what I thought I was going to do. And what the honest answer is, I'm going to give myself time to think about what that looks like. And I'm not going to pigeonhole myself into doing a specific thing. You know, I know I want to travel together with you. I know I want to help with our business. And I know I want to spend time with our friends and family. Beyond that, I hope to have time to just really think about how I want to live my life with the freedom of not worrying about how much money I'm making.
I think it takes a lot of courage to say that to people because I am of the ilk of like, I want to have something to say to somebody, even if it's just kind of a directionally accurate. It doesn't have to be perfect.
I also found
and like project-based. Like to me, I thrive on projects.
Yes.
And so having a next project, I did a podcast interview this week, and this was the first time I could openly talk about what we were doing. And like one of the ending questions for every one of these podcast interviews is like, hey, tell us what's next, you know? And I was finally able to say, hey, my wife just gave her notice and we have these plans to go off into the world and travel together. Our kids are going to be in college. And that for the first time felt exciting to me. And also like a permission to just not have to say, I'm doing another house, or I have this exciting project, mm-hmm. in New York, or whatever, because I think that's what they wanted to hear from me. It's like, oh, tell us about your next project.
Yeah, yeah.
And the next project is not architecture. It's something beyond that. And it felt a little bit scary for me to say that, mm-hmm. at the same time liberating though. So I appreciate having seen how you've dealt with it.
Yeah. I think they want to hear that kind of, they want to hear, I'm starting a disease foundation, like I'm going to start some kind of large endeavor. And I also found that when I did try to say what I was going to do, a lot of people were like, oh yeah, I've done that. Or,
really?
I was talking about places we wanted to visit with one person, and they were like, every place I named, they were like, oh yeah, I've been there. And I think it was almost like, I'm working and I've been able to go to those places.
Yeah.
And so I just, reaction to that is like, look, with the way that I work, I don't take vacation.
Yeah.
Even though I have 6 weeks of vacation, I don't take it because I don't feel like I can take it. And if I do, I feel guilty, or I think about work the whole time.
So a hard break is like necessary for you.
Yeah. I actually said to a couple of people, like, I recognize that you're the kind of person that is able to fit all that travel into your life with your profession. And I think that's great. I haven't been able to do that. Or somebody else I talked to who I know has tons of like really deep hobbies. Like this person goes way deep into every hobby that he pursues. And I just said, unlike you, I'm unable to carry like a very deep and complex hobby along with this job because I'm just consumed by it all the time.
Yeah.
But then I was like, why am I even justifying this to this
exactly.
person?
Yeah. It seems ludicrous a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know. I know. I feel like now I've talked to so many people and trying to answer that question that I'm getting better at saying, we'll see.
Yeah. You feel more comfortable in that.
Yeah. Without really giving any specifics at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. The employees were unexpected reaction by my employees was they were all initially like their first reaction was congratulations and happy for me. And I thought it was going to be the other way around that first they would be like, oh my God, what's going to happen to my job first?
Sure.
And then be happy for me. But it was the other way around. And I really appreciated that. And, at the same time, right after they said that, I saw a few people with like very concerned looks on their faces, and I felt uncomfortable. I'm trying to be a leader in this room and say things that are reassuring and try to let them know that this is an opportunity. When like in my career, when people have retired, every time it's been a new opportunity for me in the end, and I was trying to convey that to them. And I think I was just stumbling over my words because I'm looking at their faces and realizing like nothing I'm saying is making them feel better right now.
Yeah.
So I wish I had rehearsed that more.
Yeah.
You had asked me if I was going to rehearse what I was going to say that morning. Yeah.
I would have.
I was like, well, I've thought about it, but I haven't really rehearsed it. And now I wish I really had gone through some talking points just so that I wasn't stumbling over my words and sounding insecure. I don't want them to feel like I'm creating this really stressful situation to do something that I'm not 100% sure of. I didn't want to come off that way.
Yeah.
So, and I am 100% sure of it. I think the biggest feeling I had after telling my boss, who was the person I told first, I just felt like free, unburdened. I think my sister texted me, and I think that was my response to her. She was like, how do you feel? And I said, I feel unburdened.
That's a great feeling.
Which is still a great feeling. I feel really very happy, very unloaded.
I was living vicariously through you and hoping that day when you gave notice, you'd text me and tell me how it was going. And I think the day that you told your lab, you said, this has been a really long day. I can't wait to come home and like have a glass of wine.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I didn't get a moment. Like I told my lab and then I told everybody else by email. And then it was like a constant flow of people the whole day. And I didn't even have a chance to like go get my lunch because everywhere I went, somebody would see me and word gets out so fast. So I was getting stopped in the hallway. And one person said, I was talking with one person who I was in the middle of, that person was asking me why. And I was sort of explaining it. And somebody walked by who I don't know very well, but they're like in the financial side of the institution. And he walked by and he says, you don't have to explain anything to me. I'm next. Which was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody come away feeling inspired?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. There were some people who were like, how did you do this? You know, how long have you been planning it? You know, what's the trick? Yeah. And then some people I found out who are planning the same thing and I just never knew it.
Oh,
you know, like one person said, hey, wait a minute, that's what I'm going to do. They're about 10 years younger than us, maybe more. And she said, yeah, when our daughter graduates high school, our goal is to retire early.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wish I knew that before. That's amazing. We could have been talking about it.
So what percentage of people do you think had that kind of, there was a slot of kind of confused reactions or scared emotions, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
There was the unexpected slice, the probably congratulatory slice. And then how about people who are inspired? What slice is that? Is that like a minority? Is it like a great majority? Is it?
I think the people who came right out and said they're inspired and wanted more information about it, that was maybe like 2% of the people I told. So like three people.
Sure.
But then there's a bigger chunk of people who are immediately like, oh yeah, so I wonder, and like they would, within a couple of days, I know a couple of people went home and reran their numbers or made an appointment with their financial advisor, trying to figure out like what their timeline looked like.
Sure.
And then there was people who were like, oh, it must be nice. And I know I looked at my numbers, but there's no way I'm going to be able to do this unless I get some kind of windfall or, so a lot of people feeling like it's not within reach for them. And what I say when people say that is like, you would be surprised.
Yeah.
And it's not even going to begin to be in your reach if you don't start taking control of it, at least take control of it and do some reading and, you know, think about saving more than, you know, the bare minimum to your, you know, pre-tax retirement accounts and, you know, max them out if you can and that kind of thing. And especially the younger people, in my lab, I've already, like, for a couple of them, given them...
You've given them a simple path to wealth.
Path to wealth and, you know, just sort of to get them thinking about it.
Yeah,
and
that's good.
That's great.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting the pattern of essentially you giving the news and people coming to you, and it was like a mirror. They were holding up a mirror to themselves. Like, here are my retirement plans or lack thereof. You know, it was a kind of a universal thing. As soon as you would announce or tell somebody, it's like, oh, well, here's why I can't, or here's what I'm planning. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was an interesting.
I remember when my last boss retired, we were surprised. We didn't think that she was ready to retire yet. And when she retired, it caused like a reorg within the group. And I just remember when she announced that, thinking, oh, the same thing. Like she was holding up a mirror to me. And I'm sure that when I talked to her, I was like, this is amazing. How long have you been planning to do this? Like, what did you, you know, was this your target age to retire, or is it later, or did you want to retire earlier? I had a lot of questions like that for her.
How old was she?
She was probably 60, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So still early, but not as early as you.
Yeah. And her husband had retired before her. So he had already been retired for like 3 years. And I think, there was, you know, she just wanted to be able to spend time with her grandkids and with her husband, and totally understandable. But I thought it would be a few more years before she announced it. But I think, you know, that's typical.
One of the reactions you got that I thought was pretty interesting was from a colleague of yours, another institution, a collaborator. And they said, you know, what is it with you people your age? I know all of these people. What is it with people your age?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. I think, that was interesting. And I think he was sort of surprised that like that my generation, somehow he was seeing in my generation of people who are in academic research specifically. I mean, I can only talk about the sciences. I can't talk about all the other disciplines,
sure.
But within science, that there are a number of people my age who are making drastic changes in their career. Like either they're retiring or they're changing careers, or, you know, they're not necessarily doing that classic, like, find your tenure track position at a university or at a medical school or research institution and plug yourself in and just stay there until you're, you know,
cruise control
75.
Yeah.
And you know, part of that is because there's fewer opportunities. I think it's interesting because I ran into that a couple times in my career where there wasn't room to grow because there were the older generation of people weren't retiring.
Right.
They were just staying there. And so people just didn't have the chance to grow into new positions or, you know, your grants all go into the same study section. And if you're working on the same thing and that senior person's grant is in the same round as you, they're going to get the fundable score and you're not.
Right.
And there's like young investigator awards and things like that to try to mitigate those things. But it contributes, I think, to why people in the mid-tier of academic research get frustrated and they're called on to do everything. Like, you're teaching, you're writing grants, you're doing research, you're serving on committees, maybe you're a chair of a department, you're doing all these things, and it just consumes more and more of your time, and then you turn around and you don't have any time left. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know how to say that to him within a casual conversation, but I understand it. Yeah.
Hey, Eric here with Two Sides of Phi, checking in with a quick request. Jason and I love making this show and sharing our conversations, but we need your help spreading the word. The best way to do that is to give us a quick rating and review on your podcast app of choice. And if you know someone on the Phi path, please hit that share button on your favorite episode. Every little bit helps. Thanks.
In some ways, it's a charitable move by you. You're making room for those behind you. Huh?
Well, I didn't say that. I was trying to say that to my lab. Like, look, you know, I'm leaving, and it's an opportunity for a lot of people now who can like take over some of the stuff that I'm responsible for. And some of that can be taken over by people who maybe already work for me, or maybe it's another junior faculty member who can take some of those things over. So I hope that's the case.
Okay. Have you noticed people treating you differently?
Well, I
it's only been a week. I know.
It's only been a week, but I did notice yesterday when we were, you know, we had this reception, and then like I stayed around and we were chatting, and after we get done with talking about retirement, you know, they get everything, they squeeze all their questions out, and I talk about that, then they move on to talking about like the grant they're working on, or you know, what they're going to do next, and talking about science again. And I don't know if it's just me or them, but I immediately started to feel like, oh, I feel a little bit outside of this conversation now. Yeah. Instead of me being like, oh, have you thought about this, or have you tried this? And I can still offer up those ideas in a conversation, but I can't offer up like, oh, we should write a grant together about X, Y, and Z, or...
People don't see you as a collaborator.
Yeah, so they're not going to be drumming up collaborations with me, and I'm lucky because I have collaborations with friends. So that makes me a little bit sad. I hope we can still be friends when we're not collaborating. Yeah. I think we can, but I realized like, oh, so my notice is very long, right? I said I would retire at the end of this calendar year. And then I asked if I could retain an active emeritus status until my last PhD student crosses the line. And I think that's going to work out, but it means like, I may be in the lab at the end of the year with an empty lab. I think you mentioned that, like, you know, going through those 20,000 vials by myself.
So anything that you would do differently?
I think notifying people, I could have done a better job with that.
Just in terms of like, you told individuals and then you told your boss, and there was a certain sequence that had to happen there.
Yeah.
But some of the, I remember asking you, oh, what did so-and-so say? And you're like, oh, I didn't tell them, you know, this was a couple of days after. And...
Because I told, there were some people I told one-on-one, but then I realized like the rumor was getting out ahead of me.
Yeah.
So even though when I sent an email to the faculty, it was just to the faculty, but there's all these other people who I interact with who are not faculty. And I was trying, and I had a list and I was trying to get to them. But then people started finding out just through rumors. Yeah. And so I wish I had done a better job of figuring out how to prevent that and tell people. But then if you're telling everybody one-on-one over a long period of time, they're going to find out anyway. Yeah. So I don't know. It's hard to, even though I wished I had maybe done it a little bit differently, I don't know how I could have done it differently, I guess. And there's also a few people that deserved to hear it. Like I wished maybe I told everyone in my lab one-on-one rather than just like a subset of people.
You
know,
it was starting to get out and you felt like you had to check in with people, and then some people were not there and you couldn't connect with everybody. And so it just kind of, it did feel like that part got a little bit.
The two people I knew who were going to be at lab meeting virtually, like I knew that they were working from home on that day. I talked to them before lab meeting because I didn't want them to be so separated from the room. And one person both of those people are affected. One of them is a person whose job will probably end at the end of the year, and another one is just somebody who I know gets very worried. Yeah. And I think people are still worried, even though I've had a lot of conversations with them about helping them. You know, they're all very talented and good, and they're going to find, you know, jobs, or their job will be the same and they'll just work for, report to somebody different.
Yeah.
But there's still this sense of anxiety. And the other thing was, I noticed, like, when I'm talking with certain people, I feel very emotional about it, because I'm not saying goodbye to them yet, but I won't see them as much. And so there was definitely some, I was surprised by some of the emotions, like tearful interactions I had with some people.
Yeah.
And that's also very precious to me too, because it means that we made real connections at work, and, you know, that's important to me.
Yeah. How do you see those relationships changing over time?
I think some people I just won't see.
Yeah.
And some people I'll stay in touch with. And that's kind of how it is with people who have come and gone, you know, people who used to work in my lab who now are somewhere else, or people who moved their labs to different places. You get very caught up in whatever the new thing is you're doing. So it's going to be a lot of work on my part to stay in touch with people. But I know the people who are still working, how busy they are, and they're, and I'm going to be the one probably doing more of the reaching out. That's something that I'm looking forward to too, because I feel like I get so busy, I'm terrible at keeping in touch with people. You know, I have certain friends like from high school, and they're always reaching out and maintaining contact, and I'm terrible at it. And I'm looking forward to just having that time to, you know, give attention to those relationships, and I can use some of that time to maintain the most important ones from all the 23 years I've worked at this institution. So it's a long time.
Have you given any more thought to what purpose is going to look like for you? Because
I mean,
this is kind of a focusing point, right? People are asking you what's next, which means you're naturally thinking about it more. And I remember you saying to me, I feel like I have to have an answer for this. Like, what, where's my utility coming from? Where's my purpose?
I felt like I had to have an answer because everybody was asking me. And then even before, when we were going through the whole process of deciding, like, okay, we're going to hit the number. What are you going to do? Are you going to retire from your job or not? And we had a lot of discussions about that. I think you felt like it was really important for me to identify a purpose so that I would feel like I was retiring to something purposeful. But I'm very comfortable right now with not having that.
Yep.
I'm still comfortable, but, you know, I'm also very busy right now, and I will be through the end of the year. So,
right, exactly.
You know, that might change.
Any final advice for someone who's getting ready to give notice and, like, preparing what they're going to say?
Yeah. Yep. So don't worry as much as I did. I think one of the negative comments was, you know, oh, you have such a big ego because you think it's going to make such a big difference to everybody when you retire. Who do you think you are? That was like, some internet person said that. And I was like, oh, that's mean. But then I thought, yeah, maybe it isn't that big of a deal. And it's somewhere in the middle. The truth is, like, I was so worried about causing stress in people's lives and disrupting their careers. And most people were not as upset as I thought they'd be. I think they're very much like, oh, okay, it's time for me to make a change too. So that felt much better. I think I had built it up in my mind to be a much bigger deal.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I always hate to cause problems for people, but I don't think they're problems. I think they're opportunities for them. So that part, don't worry so much about that. And I don't think you have to have it completely planned out what you're going to do.
Yeah.
I think you make the immediate changes in your life that you know will make you feel better and make you feel unburdened and unburden yourself. And then hopefully you have the bandwidth to think about how you want to live your life for the next phase.
I do think you have to have something prepared in your mind to say. I think you need a means of addressing it, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
I mean, you went into it and said, this is what I'm doing. And I'm moving into the business, or, you know, you said it.
I've tried all different scripts. I've tried, you know, because I've had that question so many times. And all of those things are true. Yes, I'm going to be traveling with you. Yes, I'm going to be involved in the business.
So why change the script then if you're so sure of it?
Yes, I'm going to be doing nothing. Yes, I'm going to be exercising for 2 hours a day. Like, yes, I'm going to enjoy not having other people dictate what I'm doing, you know, with my schedule. Like, I'm going to write my schedule. And that schedule will happen on the most part as written, instead of what I do now, which is write my schedule and then it all goes up in smoke as soon as other people, you know, get their hands on it. So
I see you going through the same process I went through in my business, where when I first started this, I had to be an architect. I had to be the business owner, like the firm I had just left. And it took me a long time to be comfortable with the idea that I was different, and it's okay to have a different narrative, and my business doesn't look like everyone else's. And even now, even though this is a different transition for me, being able to talk about it with other people in a way that's open and free and kind of owning what I'm doing instead of apologizing for what I'm doing. Like, we're doing something that's at the edge of societal norms. And, you know, retiring at 50, 51 is pretty early. And people still don't have a lot of acceptance for that as a lifestyle choice. For whatever reason, you're not contributing anymore. Your value in society is linked to work.
It's not just other people, identity. Though. You feel that. I feel that way too. And I think it comes from the way I was raised. I talked to my mother this morning, and she was like, "Tell me how it went when you talked to your boss. What did she say?
Was she mad?
I was so worried all week that she was going to be mad at you. I'm like, she wasn't mad at me.
She retired when she was 75.
She's like, what about everybody else? Was everybody else upset? Everybody must be so mad and upset, you know? And like, I realized, like, that's the voice in my head that causes me to wring my hands. And it's just sort of like, you always need to be doing the right thing by everybody.
You have a duty.
And thinking about yourself feels like selfish. In the context of that, it feels like what you're doing is a selfish thing. And I don't think that my mom actually thinks I'm being selfish, but there's that sense of like, it doesn't sit right with her that we're doing this. And maybe she's worried that, I mean, I think other people came up with this, like, well, have you really thought this through? Like, one person was like, well, you do know the stock market's going to crash next year, right? You know, like,
and also,
they're worried that we haven't thought about it.
Have you checked into the price of health insurance?
Yeah, that too. You do realize how expensive that's going to be.
Oh gosh, we did. Yeah, we forgot to check that.
Oh, health insurance. I didn't think about that.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm glad. Thank you for sharing it with everybody. And thank everybody for your comments and support.
Yeah.
Like, not having a huge community of people locally that can plug into this and say,
we're doing the same thing
and respect the decision is so helpful, I have to say, at this time. Thank you so much. And congratulations.
Thanks.
Join us as the conversation continues next time on Two Sides of Phi. If you've enjoyed the show, please consider rating it at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. For show notes, resources, and links to the video version, please check out our website at twosidesoffi.com.